Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Let's take a trip to Cincinnati, Ohio. We'll be joined by a friend of the show, Mo Edgar, to take a closer look at the Cincinnati Bengals. Mo, I feel like you come on the show at least every other month because these two teams always play each other.
I think it's become the best organic rivalry in the NFL where, you know, it's not based on, you know, being division foes. It's not based on geography. It's not based on, you know, some sort of long-time history. It's based on a lot of really good games, a lot of really high-stakes games. And I think, as much as I don't think these two teams really like each other, I do think there's a ton of mutual respect. And so I don't care who you root for. I think if you're an NFL fan, you've had this one circled since the schedule came out.
Mo, I think the number one question that all of us have is, what in the world happened last week with Cincinnati to lose 16-10 at home to the New England Patriots, a team that had one of the five worst records in the NFL last year, a team that is starting Jacoby Brissett? How did things go so wrong for Cincinnati in week one?
You know, it's never any one thing, but the biggest thing was Joe Burrow didn't play like Joe Burrow. And you could tell, I think two series into the game, that this was going to be a slog. This was going to be the sort of game that if they won it, you know, they were going to have to grind it out, maybe win something like, I don't know, 19-16, and then we all do the, well, a win is a win thing after the game. Joe, it wasn't that he played bad. It's that he played uncharacteristically bad. And what I mean by that is, you know, you think if Joe Burrow isn't effective, all right, he misses on some deep passes, he throws a pick or two, he gets sacked, he's always under pressure. None of those things were in play. It was remarkable watching an offense that not that long ago was articulated by Joe Burrow as, quote, F it, throw it downfield, Jamar will go get it, to a complete and total unwillingness to throw the ball downfield. Not 30 yards downfield, not 40 yards downfield, 10 yards downfield. 16 of his first 20 passes didn't travel beyond 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. He's throwing short of the sticks on third and 10. He's throwing short of the sticks on fourth and two. And so, you know, do you attribute that to him maybe not being 100% from a health perspective? Obviously, that's a fair conclusion to draw. Was it a bad game plan? I think it was, to the extent that the passes that Joe Burrow did complete resulted in the guy who caught the ball being tackled almost instantly. Nobody was really getting open. Was it him simply having a bad day, maybe not feeling comfortable because he took some early hits? Perhaps, but as the game went on, the protection was really, really good. There were other factors in the game. They couldn't stop the run, which I think, frankly, with this team is kind of to be expected. They didn't have T. Higgins, which, all right, fine, but they did have Jamar Chase. They did have Joe Burrow. They were at home. They were playing a bad New England team. And so for the result to be what it was and for the game to play out the way it did, I think it's the worst regular season loss of the Zach Taylor era, and it was certainly a very sobering way to start the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Right now, we're talking to Mo Edgar of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, getting you ready for Chiefs and Bengals, the marquee game on CBS this week. Mo, who are Cincinnati fans sort of attributing their slow starts to? Because one of my big points this week has been that When you have a dysfunctional August, the way that Cincinnati has had multiple times, it creates a dysfunctional September. This team has the Burrow thing to overcome. T. Higgins isn't healthy. Jamar Chase is unhappy about his contract, and then that carries over to the first week of the season. This team is now 1-8 in the first 2 weeks of the season under Zach Taylor. Who are Cincinnati fans sort of pointing the finger at for why this organization continues to get off to slow starts?
The coaching staff. And I think it's not just Sunday. It's exactly what you just mentioned. It's the 1-8. It's the 0-2 start to last season. The 1-3 start to last season. The 0-2 start to 2022. And by the way, they recovered in 2022, won their last 8 regular season games, made the AFC Championship game. They recovered enough last year to be above 500 in late October and kind of be on track to get back to the postseason before Joe got hurt. But yeah, look, there were mitigating factors this year. Joe is not 100%. The Jamar Chase thing kind of took on a life of its own. It's the job of a coaching staff to have their team ready. And if this was an isolated thing, you could say, all right, you know what, maybe training camp got a little bit away from them. Maybe, you know, there were some things that could have gone a little bit differently. But when you look at last year, they were ill-prepared to play the first game of the season on the road against Cleveland, lost 27-3. 2 years ago, ill-prepared in their season opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a Pittsburgh team that then lost its next 4 games. They played that game at home. And so I think the common denominator is the coaching staff. You've got to have your team prepared to play week one. I think what's interesting, though, about this year is beyond all the noise surrounding Jamar Chase, this was the training camp where they were going to hit more. Where they were gonna approach camp a little bit more with the idea of hitting the ground running. They had 2 joint practices, which, you know, frankly, are more competitive environments than the preseason games, and yet still they came out flat. And so, regardless of how this season ends up, regardless of how many games they win or lose in 2024, when we get to next July and training camp begins, we're all gonna be wondering, okay, is this the year that they can come charging out of the gate? Because they haven't done it. They haven't won their season opener but one time since Zach Taylor became the head coach. And so getting back to your original question, there's lots of different people you can point to for the poor performance on Sunday. But when you lump everything together the last couple of years and you look at how ill-prepared this team has been to start the season, that reflects mainly on the head coach.
Joe Burrow is a very interesting case. I believe that when he's healthy, he's the second best quarterback in the league behind Patrick Mahomes. But this week, and just watching so much of their game on Sunday against New England, I find myself asking, man, when was the last time that Joe Burrow was healthy, and when was the last time he played like the guy that I think he is? And you and I both take a look at the AFC, and you got Patrick Mahomes, and you got CJ Stroud, and Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow we're talking about, and Trevor Lawrence. Burrow doesn't look like the guy that's in that same conversation with where Stroud, Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson is right now. I know a lot of that is injury-based. Do you have any worry or fear if Burrow can get back to being that guy that he was in 2022 when he was an undeniable top-3 quarterback in the league?
I think it at least has to be in the back of your mind until you start to see him play like the guy that you just referenced. Now, to be fair to Joe, he started the season poorly last year. He was dealing with a calf issue. Obviously, we know how his season ended. But right before he got hurt, he had about a 4-game stretch where he played like the guy that you referenced. He played like one of the best 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the league. He had a terrific performance on the road against San Francisco in a game the Bengals dominated. He had a very good performance in prime time against the Buffalo Bills. He led an insane comeback in a game that they still lost against the Houston Texans. He was getting there, and he was playing really well. Unfortunately, it all got washed away because he suffered the injury. He didn't play the last, basically, 2 months of the season, and Jake Browning took over. But look, here's the reality, okay? He has played 4 NFL seasons and a game. And within that time frame, he's had a season-ending knee injury. He had the Super Bowl, which he limped off with a knee injury, as people remember, when they lost to the Rams. He's had an appendectomy. He's had a calf issue that kept him from being at his best last season. And he's had a season-ending wrist injury that last year required surgery that apparently is lingering into this year. And so more than half of the time that he has been in the league, he has either been out with an injury, recovering from an injury, playing with an injury, trying to gain weight because of an injury. And so those things, number one, they add up. And I think you're being completely reasonable if you wonder about the cumulative effect. But there's a long stretch of time where he plays uninterrupted. We're not talking about injuries. We're solely focusing on his performance. And those performances, you know, meet the standard that he set in 2021 and 2022. Until then, I think you're always going to hesitate a little bit when you talk about Joe in relation to Patrick Mahomes or Joe in relation to anybody else. Now, you and I both know a year ago at this time, we were all wondering, well, can Lamar Jackson get through a full season? And he did last year. And so now we don't talk nearly as much about his injuries. This is a big, big season for Joe, because if by the end of the season we're still talking about how often he's hurt, well, then that's 3 out of 5 years.
Mo, give me your Chiefs win-if scenario. Give me your Bengals win-if scenario to go on the road. And I know that Vegas would consider this an upset, but given these two teams' history, it would not be surprising if Cincinnati leaves Arrowhead with another win.
Three things have to happen. I think, number one, they're going to have to figure out a way to take some pressure off of Joe. They've retooled the running game. Joe Mixon is no longer here. By the way, that move looked terrible after the way he played for the Texans last week. They're going to have to find a way offensively to take some pressure off Joe Burrow by running the ball more effectively. And we did see some glimpses of that in the New England game. It's not something they want to lean on. They might have to lean on it a little bit more heavily this week. I think you have to ask Joe Burrow, look, you've got Ja'Marr Chase, find him downfield. The unwillingness to throw the ball deep, he doesn't have to be perfect. They can still take advantage of his check down game. But if you're going to play offensive football in a phone booth, this team suddenly becomes very easy to defend. They were really easy to defend last week. It goes without saying Joe has to be great, but he's going to have to be great by being able to exploit some matchups with Ja'Marr Chase. And I think the really interesting thing about this game, the Bengals have remade their secondary, and they've got some corners back there who are really raw and really young, also really talented. They moved Dax Hill from safety to corner, former first-round pick from Michigan. They've got Cam Taylor-Britt, who's kind of moved into the CB1 role, if you will. They've remade the safety room with Geno Stone signing, coming over from Baltimore, and Von Bell coming back. Patrick Mahomes has the weapons and the arm to test that secondary. The New England Patriots last week could not. I am really interested to see how the Bengals pass those tests. And if they do, they've got more than a puncher's chance. And I think the other side of the coin is very similar. When Patrick Mahomes tries to test that Cincinnati secondary, if the Bengals don't pass that test, it's going to be a long day for Cincinnati's defense. And if the Bengals play offensive football the way they did against New England on the road against KC, they have almost no chance. What I am interested in, maybe from a more schematic standpoint, is Cincinnati's offensive line held up okay as the game went on. Joe was really pressured, I think, on 6 of 35 dropbacks. We all know what Chris Jones can do. We've seen Kansas City wreck the Bengals up front in the past. What do we see on Sunday?
That is our guy Mo Edgar joining the show today. He is with ESPN 1350 in Cincinnati.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.